You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
We are here to reset here. We are here to reset here.
Hey, Fearless Fly Girls and guys, this is your girl, Crystal Marie. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Fear Doesn't Go With My Outfit. We are on episode number 4, I believe. This one is going to be, well, you know, I always say that about all my episodes because they are amazing and my guests are amazing. But this one will be amazing. I'm excited. I'm going to have her. I always have them introduce themselves, but I always start with, hey, girl, hey. She's looking at me, guys, like, oh, God. This will be kind of a sensitive subject, so... But she's here, guys. She's ready to talk about it. And the episode is called Fear Doesn't Go With My Resilience. Yes, honey. So, hey, P.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Tell the people who you are.
My name is Pilar Doakes. Crystal and I are girlfriends because I am... Oh, sorry.
Get close to the mic.
I'm a wedding planner, just like Crystal.
Yes.
And we became buddies, colleagues, sisters.
Yes.
I lean on her for advice and help.
All of that. All of that. Because you know how us girlfriends do. So yes, we know each other from the wedding planning community, but it's bigger than that now. Mm-hmm. So, which I love. I love her. Mm-hmm. But her story, guys, is amazing. It's something that I think we all need to hear. And, you know, Fear Doesn't Go In My Outfit is all about kicking fear in the balls, telling it where to go and how to get there. And, you know, this show is all about transparency. It's the real, real. So let's get right into it. Hey, P.
Hey, girl.
She got her drink, guys. I was like, come on, she got to make her a little cocktail.
Yes.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about where you want to start from.
This is your show. I'm in your house. I do it.
Let's start from the beginning. Okay. So let's talk about, because you were once married.
Yes, I am happily divorced.
Happily divorced, guys. So, you know, this is going to be good. So let's talk about it. So let's talk about when you guys first met. We won't say his name, but when you guys first met.
Sure.
What year?
So this was the year 2008. We are avid ballroom dancers.
Mm-hmm. And Detroit.
Yes.
You know, it's Detroit folks,
that is
too.
Our thing. Mm-hmm. And this bar that I used to frequent for ballroom lessons had a $2 Tuesday. And I was just there ballrooming one night. And at the end of the ballroom lesson, there is what is called a ballroom orgy. Just excuse the name.
I love it. We're real on here.
So it's when there's one big circle and everyone is ballrooming and the instructor says switch and you twirl to the next girl.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband at the time, it was his turn to twirl to me, and he twirled on over, and he looked at me and said, damn, you fine.
And that's all it took.
But no, I was not immediately attracted to him.
Right.
He's very attractive, but he was short.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, I don't know, he just had pretty boy written all over him. And, you know, I don't really have a type. I've never really had a type, but I knew he wasn't my type.
Mm-hmm.
I still gave him my phone number just because, whatever, it's just a phone number. But I don't know. We started hanging out and ballrooming together, and he was different than anyone I had ever dated.
So how long did you guys date?
We dated for 2 years.
So 2 years, you guys dancing, having a good time. Everything was good, or did a situation happen within there?
Situations happened right from the beginning stages. The first incident we had was in July of 2008.
Okay, you guys are dating.
We're dating for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a cabaret mm-hmm. with some of his friends. And I happened to run into a couple of guys that I knew
mm-hmm.
through their cousins are good girlfriends of mine from mm-hmm. high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I spoke to them
mm-hmm.
or if I hugged them and didn't whichever way it went, I didn't introduce him to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got back to his house after the event, he let it be known that he felt disrespected and he was upset about it. And mm-hmm. he threw me into a wall and spit his gum in my face.
Literally threw you into a wall.
Because I did not introduce him to someone that I spoke to or I hugged them. I don't remember. But the thing about him in particular is that if something happens we're around his friends,
yeah,
and they probably said something to him to mm-hmm. the effect of, "Oh, you see a girl over mm-hmm. there talking to," and that's probably what happened, mm-hmm. and that's probably what made him more upset.
So
about
he don't
it.
Like to be embarrassed, especially not in front of his boys. If his
not
boys
like
say
to
something,
be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. So this is why you guys were dating in the beginning stages. So you mm-hmm. saw that. Okay, wait a minute. When that happened, what did you do? What did you say?
I apologized to him. Crickets.
P.
Listen.
Uh-huh. No, but we're going to get into this. Okay.
I apologized to him. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. And you know, when you first told me the story, because you remember when you told me, mm-hmm. I'm like, but you're Pilar. I'm like, hey, what?
I know.
I could not visualize you.
We're going to get into it
because you're not the meek and mild. Like, you speak your mind. You out here. We out here.
I know.
So, okay. So that was during the dating phases.
Take a sip.
Yeah, take a sip. Take a sip, guys. She's taking a sip. She's taking a sip of her cocktail because, listen, I said, come on, we need a shot. Because this is a sensitive subject. Mm-hmm. It's heavy. So, and you talking about it is kind of like you have to relive it a little bit. So, okay, so that was the first incident. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, like, did he apologize for doing it?
No.
Did he was just like, moving on.
We moved on.
Moved on. You apologized. Okay.
I apologized. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so.
The next incident, I don't even remember what we were arguing about. It mm-hmm. was in September of the same year.
Okay.
He did not have a car at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in a very close suburb to my house. So it was close enough in proximity that he could get there fast. But he doesn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
How did he get to my house? And how did he get to my house so fast? He bangs on my side door.
Mm-hmm.
I open the door. He comes in the side door and grabs me by my neck to the point where I am struggling to breathe. And I fell to the floor because I could not breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And he left.
So this was, so you guys were arguing on the phone.
We were arguing on the phone at our respective houses. I was at my house.
He was at his. And then eventually he got over there somehow. No car.
I do not know.
You don't know if a taxi.
He may have flown. He may
shut up.
Sprouted wings.
And just, girl, bad.
I honestly, to this day.
You don't know how he got there.
I have no idea. He did not have a car.
And he had to, and he felt like he was
proving a point.
And
this is before Uber.
Right. That's what I'm like. It wasn't Uber.
He couldn't.
This is 08.
There was no bus to the suburb that he lived in. There was no bus to get him to my house. So he did not take a bus. He either caught a cab or someone brought him to my house to do that. And then dropped him off. And then he disappeared.
Or went around the corner.
I have no idea.
So you couldn't breathe.
I could not breathe.
He got finished choking you. You fell to the floor.
And then he left.
And he just walked out.
And so after that, I had decided it was over. I wasn't going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's not who I thought he was. Mm-hmm. And a little backstory, I guess I should have given. So my parents have been married. I'm 34. So my parents have been married for 35 years. I was the honeymoon baby. Like, literally, they made me on their honeymoon.
Okay. Okay.
And so my father was abusive to my mom mm-hmm. for a good part of my childhood. And when I say childhood.
And you remember it?
Oh, man. When I say childhood, I mean 8, 9, 10 until like I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see the man, I still call my daddy, daddy. Like, I still, he's my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the man that you adore more than any other man on the planet.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause pain to the woman who birthed you.
And who's his wife.
And that's his wife. That's pretty heavy.
And they're still married.
And they're still married. So they made it. But so to see that as a child, I had always been very adamant about being respectful to men, not wanting that to happen to me, always paying attention to red flags.
Mm-hmm. And somehow we
and
still
somehow
found
here I am.
In the same situation.
In the same
predicament. And you know, that's, I mean, with any, you know, we see things in our childhood and we go, well, that's not going to be me, or I'm going to try to avoid that, or mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. And sometimes we end up going through the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
And subconsciously, how? Like, how did we even mm-hmm. fall into that? So, and this is still dating. You guys are still
this
dating.
Is still first year of dating. First year of dating.
And, but what were you think? Were you like, well, I mean, like, what were you thinking?
Well,
because obviously you didn't like it when it happened.
When it happened the second time, which was the first time he actually inflict pain to me. Like, mm-hmm. the first time he just degraded me mm-hmm. and humiliated me, even though it was just him and I. But to have someone, have you ever had someone spit
no,
in
ma'am.
Your face?
That's what I'm like.
Anyway.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
So that second incident, I don't know. Like, there, I think he's kind of manic because he's like a Sour Patch Kid. He'll mm-hmm. be incredibly sweet, very mm-hmm. affectionate. Mm-hmm. We laugh, we joke, we dance, we watch movies. We have all this stuff in common, similar family upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr.
Yeah, 0 like, to 50 real quick.
Yeah, so there weren't, aside from what happened in July, there weren't like red flags.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just bam mm-hmm. out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in September, I said, well, you know, I'm not going to date him anymore. So days went by. I wouldn't take his calls. I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't take his calls, his text messages or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally he got through somehow, I don't know, and I took him back. And then the very next month...
Did he apologize for
he
that?
He did. He apologized. So he went crazy apologizing, mm-hmm. buying mm-hmm. stuff, all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Sweetest Day was October.
Right,
so which is
right.
the next month. The right. next month.
And Sweetest Day, guys, is it a Midwest holiday? Because, you know, everybody... Like, what is Sweetest Day? Yes, it's a Midwest holiday. In October in Detroit, so Midwest people celebrate it in October, and it's sweetest day. It's really for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
The girl does stuff for the guy. So, just yes, I do know. So, anywho, we got Peanut Gallery in the house, but go ahead.
Don't do her.
Right. So okay.
So yeah. So it's Sweetest Day. So the night before Sweetest Day, we get into a night. So I let the incident in September happen. I let him come back. We made up. But now it's October. You're combative again. I don't remember what this fight was about.
Mm-hmm.
You're at it again? Oh, okay. Well, you got me the first time. You got me the second time.
Mm-hmm.
But motherfucker, I'm going to put some scratches up.
Yeah. You fighting back this time.
So now I'm fighting back. I picked up his grandmother's lamp. I tried to break his dead granny's lamp. Sorry, granny.
Oh, God.
And his type of abuse was intentional and manipulative.
Mm.
He never punched me. He never gave me a busted lip, except the very last time. He never, aside from that one time, he never busted my lip. Mm-hmm. He never hit me in my face.
He didn't want it to be noticeable.
No, mm-hmm. he didn't. He wanted to do something. He when he made a decision that he was going to hurt me, he wanted it to hurt me. He wanted to hurt me, but he didn't want to have to explain himself to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted it to be where I would eventually forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
if I do this to her, she'll be mad. Mm-hmm. But
for a couple of days, and she'll
she
come
won't
back.
Leave. Mm-hmm. I have tendonitis in my left hand, mm-hmm. from parties, braiding hair. Mm-hmm. I have two boys. If I just twist her left wrist really, really hard, it hurt, but she'll be okay in 20 minutes or whatever. She'll be
all
right.
And people know she has tendonitis, so...
So I can get away with that. And she'll forgive me because all I did was twist her wrist. and that, to me, that's worse than just getting beat up. Like, I would rather just kick my ass and then it can be done and over with.
Mm-hmm.
But this mind fucking that you're doing, like, mm-hmm. you know?
So, and this is still the dating process. This is still the dating process. So how do you even ask for marriage?
Because
you know what I mean? Like, how did he do it?
So,
because I'm sure he was still kind of, you know, he was a romantic guy. You say he was attractive. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, you guys had so many things in common.
Yes,
you know,
so
he wasn't a total monster.
No.
So
this is still Sweetest Day, though. This is still Sweetest Day. We fought the eve of Sweetest Day. And I mean, I scratched up his neck. I gave him a black eye. He had scratches all on his arm. And we ended up making up and went to dance class Sweetest Day morning together. And at dance class, the teacher's like, Skylar, what happened to your neck and your arm and stuff? Oh, nothing. But I did that on purpose. Like, I wanted
mm-hmm.
him.
You want people, because you're like, well, I want people to see. You're hiding my
yep.
stuff.
Yeah.
But I want people to see.
So I was very intentional. Mm-hmm. But we would have a hiatus, I guess. There would be 6 months, a year, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I ended up staying so long. He proposed because we got pregnant.
Okay, so baby's coming into play now. Uh-huh. So you got, when
so
was
this is
the
year two?
Year two, you got pregnant.
We got pregnant. I found out I was pregnant on New Year's Day. 2011.
Okay.
And I was at his house in the basement, and I'm like, I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Was and he happy? Was he excited? Was he shocked?
He was excited. He was upset that I took the pregnancy test without him. So we went to the store.
Mm-hmm. You took another one.
He wanted the whole experience.
You're right.
because he has a daughter whom I love, mm-hmm. and I still call her my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get to be there the whole time. He was away in college.
Okay.
Her mom was still in high school. She was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they had already broken up when they found out that she was pregnant.
Okay.
So he wanted to be there for the entire experience. And the thing that I could never take away from him, he's an amazing father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, amazing. Mm-hmm. Even to my oldest son, who was 13, when I first started dating him, so we started getting serious that first month in January.
Mm-hmm.
By February, it was one night I went to go out with my girlfriends and didn't have anyone to keep my son.
Mm-hmm. Which the oldest son is not his.
No.
Okay.
My ex-boyfriend from a long, long time ago.
Okay.
And he offered to keep my son.
And you like, wow. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Single guy. Nice house.
They staying in the... Right. Like, I'll stay in. You go out. I'll keep your son.
What?
Yeah. Because some men don't want to deal with their own.
Hello.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. And so I knew he would be an amazing father. So for him to be able to experience fatherhood from the very beginning
mm-hmm.
was important to both of us. So mm-hmm. we went to the store, took the pregnancy test together, and he says, well, I guess we're going to get married. Like, that was his solution.
That was his solution.
To me being pregnant.
And I have to ask, during the pregnancy, did anything?
Of course.
Yes?
Yes.
I didn't mean to scream in the mic, guys, but mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
No. And I thought I would have a break, too. But no. Nope. No.
While you were pregnant, yep. It was still some sort of abuse going on.
I called the police on him. And they were going to make me leave. Now, mind you, I'm 7 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you about the bitter end.
Not only does he slam me on the floor in the kitchen.
With his child.
With his child in my belly. He throws me down my basement stairs. 7 months pregnant. At like 2 o'clock in the morning. I call the police. The police said, now, mind you, we lost his house to foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
This was around the time when like the house market,
the market was crashing.
Everybody mm-hmm. was losing their house at this mm-hmm. time. So when we decided that, you know, we're pregnant, we'll get married. We decided that we would move him into my house because I own my house.
Mm-hmm.
No mortgage or anything. So when I caught the police on him when I was pregnant, they were going to make me leave
out of your for the night
and him stay.
Okay, I'm confused by that. What was the did they say why? This is your house and you're the one pregnant.
Let me tell you about Detroit police officers.
Oh God.
When there's a domestic disturbance, if there's no blood or any real danger,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to take the guy. They don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate that, but not when I'm 7 months pregnant and I'm afraid.
And I called you.
And
like
I called you
and I'm like, and I come out wobbling. But somehow you still marry him.
Oh my God.
After that, and I'm not being judgy.
We got married. We got married 5 weeks after we found out I was pregnant. I'm a wedding planner.
Okay, so you were
So you were. We found out January 1st. We got married on February 12th.
I love it.
That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. Look, hire Pete. Okay, Four Seasons Group. Let's go. Okay, I love
that's
it.
That's how you do it.
That's how. So where was the wedding at?
It was at. Sheesh. Where did I get married?
Look, you probably blocked out the whole thing at this point. I don't know. Well, okay, so
in Livonia, Northville, Laurel Park.
Yeah, I was about to say Laurel Manor.
The hotel.
The hotel. Got you.
Beautiful hotel.
Laurel Park, where the mall is, mm-hmm. where they have the mall. Yeah. Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay. So everything was fine then. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I'm assuming you loved him at this point.
I still do.
Yeah.
I still do.
I'm assuming you guys were in love and mm-hmm. everything went great. So after you found out you were pregnant 5 weeks after you got married,
mm-hmm.
7 months, that situation happened. Mm-hmm. You had the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have an older son. Mm-hmm. So now you guys are living together. Did he ever see anything?
Never. Neither one of my kids have ever seen anything until the night I put him out. So we got to save that.
That was your breaking point. Okay. So now we are in year one or two. We're in two.
Marriage?
Mm-hmm.
We're year three because we dated for 2 years.
How long were you married?
It would have been five. We broke up right before our 5th year anniversary.
Okay. So five. So you were together total of
seven
years mm-hmm. with him. Okay. So now we're married and just kind of, again, just situations happening through the thing. Let's get to the breaking point. Let's get right to the deets, your breaking point. Because
okay.
This is when people, because you are, my breaking point isn't your breaking point. Your
right.
breaking point isn't my breaking point. We
right.
all have to be tired at our own time.
Yep.
So, but I want to ask, did you have anybody to talk to about this? Did your mom know?
My mom knew because I wanted her to do something. I don't know what I wanted her to do, but because I knew about her and my dad, obviously, I was there. I
mm-hmm.
saw you fall down the basement stairs, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I wanted her to do something. and she never voiced her opinion. She never.
But what was she going to do when she had her own situation?
I don't know. I think that was just the little girl in me that just wanted her mommy.
Right.
I don't know what I wanted her to do. But that was the only person that I ever told. And I didn't tell her every time.
Right.
I only told her once. And when I told her, I was still pregnant because I remember my office, which is now my son's room, mm-hmm. we were clearing it out mm-hmm. for the baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying something to her, and she just didn't have an opinion at all. And I that was so crazy to me.
Like, she didn't say, hang in there. She didn't say, we need to go.
No.
She didn't say, well, you know, she didn't bring up her own situation.
No.
Nothing. She just looked at you, listened, mm-mm. and changed the subject.
And they never really talked to us about their situation. Because my parents are from a different time.
Yes. When so it's like, you don't shit. Say nothing. Mm-hmm. What happens in this house, stay in this house. Oof.
So,
and I'm so like, promote being on the couch. I snitch. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to tell it.
And another scary part for me when I was younger was, my dad was a teacher. Both of my parents were teachers, but my dad was like a big deal mm-hmm. in Detroit Public Schools. Mm-hmm. He was a superintendent over the buses for Detroit Public Schools.
Yeah.
He was a school counselor. He was ahead of this. He was on top of this. He was all these boards. And if I told my school counselor, you know, it was like one of those
things. Yes. You'd be like everybody.
One of those things. I had to just. I don't know. Who could I go to?
Yeah.
My daddy knows everybody. Who?
Wow.
I couldn't. And I remember in the eighth grade wanting to talk to my counselor about it. And I just could not. No, my dad, he didn't tell me not to. But
And then and then your husband, what's his occupation? Like, what did.
He's a teacher.
So it's like you work with
He's a teacher. He's a sports coach to children.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's a referee. So you are a role model.
Mm-hmm.
You are a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You're a coach. You are supposed to be you're supposed to be someone these children can look up to.
But you at home kicking my ass.
And you at home going upside my head.
Mm. That's deep. Because I got to take a sip. I got to take a minute to process. Okay. So the breaking point. We are now at the breaking point. We're now in year 7. So this is 7 years of. And again, like you said, it wasn't all day, every day. You know, but it was enough. So we are at year 7.
This
was a regular day.
Let me set the tone.
Set the tone. We're such planners. Set the tone.
The day is January 3rd, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We are at home. Every year for New Year's Eve, I make a seafood gumbo. So we're in the basement, him and I. We're watching.
I'm so greedy.
We're watching a movie. And we are eating our gumbo. The children are upstairs eating some pasta dish I made because they won't eat the
gumbo. Look at you cooking, though.
Right.
Yeah, PB cooking, y'all.
And he's telling me about my older son's basketball schedule. He sent it to me as a text, and then he's explaining it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's explaining to me does not
match
the text.
Got you.
So I said, well, is this right? Is what you sent me right?
Mm-hmm.
And he ignored me. And I said, is this right? He ignored me again.
So pause. Let me pause really quick. So during this time, do you consider like your marriage? Were you happy?
No.
Where do you feel like you was not happy?
No, I wasn't happy. I felt like I was in a prison. I felt like, so at this time I'm working as a banquet manager at a banquet hall in Southfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love everyone there dearly.
Mm-hmm.
So I would stay at work until the dishwashers are done.
Because you don't want to go home.
So I don't want to go home. The dishwashers are done at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to go home. I don't have to lock up the building. Especially that late at night, they can lock up the mm-hmm. building without me, mm-hmm. but I don't want to go home. I did a lot of other stuff too to cope. If we want to get into
it. Let's get into it. Listen, we got to be transparent because folks is on here listening who need to hear this, or they watching on YouTube. Hey, my YouTube subscribers, subscribe to the Crystal Marie brand. But let's get into it. What were you doing? Because that's why I asked, were you happy?
No.
Were you, how did you deal?
I have never said this out loud.
Hey, but she's, look, first on Fear Doesn't
Exclusive.
Go
I cheated a lot.
Really?
A lot. I got flued out.
You I said flued.
I got.
It's not I got, funny, but I cannot stand you. Oh my God. I got flued out.
I got flued
so
out.
So it would be people in other city. How do you say, hey, you would just be like, hey, I'm going to see my girlfriend, or.
I'm a wedding planner.
Girl,
Crystal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have.
Secrets. Like,
I get flued out for work. So that's how I got away with
it. That's true. That's true.
So, yeah, my trips to Miami.
Yeah.
I had a fling with a dude in Ohio. That flight is only like 40 minutes.
Bye. Bye. So this was your... let's say drug of choice, mm-hmm. or this was your coping mechanism. This is
yeah,
what you
so
did.
Some people drink,
some people smoke, I worked
myself to a bone, mm-hmm. and I cheated. And there was a guy that I did cheat with a lot over. We probably saw each other for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about that was he was never someone that I would have dated. But I had fun with him. We were friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even when I broke up with my ex, I didn't want to date him. Like, we have not been intimate since
I broke up with my husband. It wasn't like, hey, nope. if I wasn't married,
nope.
it'll be you.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just like we had a good time.
And I asked him, he still tries to stay in touch with me. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So that was, so you heard that first here, guys. Fear doesn't go with my outfit.
Sorry.
Episode 4. No, but people need to, because again, everybody, you know, has their how to deal with stuff.
And it's not something I'm proud of, but.
We being honest though.
I just, if I didn't have anything to escape to, because I didn't talk to my girlfriends about it. I have 4 brothers. They never knew anything until the day, like until after we broke up, because
I didn't know nothing until you told. Like, right. I'm like, what?
Even when we broke up, my girlfriends didn't know. We broke up in January. My girlfriends didn't know until May.
Okay. Cause, and he was already out.
He was long gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my thing was, why am I going to run to you with my problems? I'm not going anywhere. Like, we're not breaking
That's
up.
That's true.
He's still my husband.
And so you already knew yourself.
Yeah. Like, I don't want you guys to hate him and then I still bring him to Christmas dinner.
Because mm-hmm. you know it's going to be smoke in the city. Yeah. And you know, usually you can get over stuff, but when you tell your family friends,
they're never going to get over it.
They never get over it or move on, you know, like you would do. So, and you know, it's funny you said that, and you were very clear. You said, I didn't say anything because I knew I wasn't going anywhere. So why waste?
Yeah, I'm not the girl. I've never been the girl that cried wolf. Like, for crying out loud, I didn't go to my school counselor when my dad was going upside my mom's mm-hmm. head. And I was 14. Like, mm-hmm. to make a decision like that at 14. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay, so that day.
So the day I put him out. So
we're for the final time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I never put him
out. You had never put him out.
That was
mm-hmm. it. Okay.
This was the one and only time. So we're... I'm asking him if the schedule is right. The last time I asked him and he ignored me, I said, well, you know what? I'll just delete this and then just send it to me when you get the right information. He snapped. Shut the F up. Shut the F up.
On text message or
no,
you guys are in person?
There, okay. Eating our gumbo.
Okay.
If you just listen and just wait and just, I'm trying to tell you, just shut the F up. Just going off. So I said, you know what? I'll just go upstairs with the boys. Because another thing, I don't like to argue in front of my kids. Like, I don't want them to see that. I don't want to have to fix problems with them, or them to have to fix problems when they become adults. Mm-hmm. Like I had to.
Like
do.
You had, right, right. And you know.
So yeah. I go upstairs and trying to diffuse the situation, let him cool off, because I have no idea why he had just flipped out on me. He comes upstairs, still screaming and hollering and cussing. I'm like, okay, can you not do this in front of the boys? Like, chill out. Let's not do this in front of the boys. He didn't let up. So now I have a breakfast bar in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. So now he's kicking my bar stools in the kitchen. My children are eating dinner in the dining room adjacent to the kitchen.
So they're watching him.
They're watching him. So I recycle. Woo. And all my recycling for that week is at the back door. Mm-hmm. He starts slinging the recycling around the kitchen. I'm like, oh, he's having a full-on episode here. I'm like, Skylar, you really... oh, shit. I said his name.
No. It's okay. It's okay. Nobody heard
that. I didn't want to... So I'm like, dude, you know, you really... just calm down, please. Stop. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, you're getting out of hand now. He didn't stop. But I'm still like, he hasn't touched me.
Right.
We can get over this.
He's just having a little tantrum. Mm-hmm.
Now it's my turn. So now he's grabbing me, pushing and shoving me around. And I'm like.
The boy's watching.
My children are watching. So this is me and him in the kitchen. This is my oldest son at the table. Like, there is no, I have to lean in to look and see. No. Then my son, my 13-year-old son, well, then he was, what was it, 3 years ago? He's 10. My 10-year-old son is looking directly at what's going on in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And he is pushing and shoving me, pulling my hair. And my son is literally sitting at the table watching this.
Mm.
So I said, I sent the kids to their rooms. I said, y'all go to bed. Sent them away. He picks up my... I'm cleaning off the table now. So I'm cleaning up. I pick up my youngest son's dinner plate off of his high chair. He grabs the plate out of my hand with the pasta, with marinara sauce, and my fresh... Because, you know, when you go into the new year, you have to get your hair done.
Hair done. Right. That sets the tone for the whole year. Hello. How we end is how we begin.
Hello.
Yes.
He picks up this plate of food and flings the food in my face. It's all in my hair. It's on the ceiling. It's on the wall. It's on the floor. I says, sir, today is the day. You have to go right now. Like, I'll help you pack. We got enough garbage bags, but you got to go tonight. Mm-hmm. You have to go tonight, right now. You have to go right now. You have to go right now. It wasn't even the food. I had already decided the minute he kicked the first bar stool and my son was sitting here watching.
And you looked and saw him that watching. Was, that like, was it.
My decision was already made. Mm-hmm. But the icing on the cake, literally and figuratively, because there's food in my face. Mm-hmm. Was food in my face. Mm-hmm. You have to go now. Now you have to go right now. Now. Mm. Now. And I never said it to him before. But he used, when we would fight, he would say things like, if you ever try to divorce me, I'm taking our son and you'll never see him.
Mm.
And that was another way to try to keep me or control me or whatever. And it worked somewhat, because I had never been through the whole divorce thing and all that, you know. No.
Right, right.
So, but that was it. Like, to have my children see that happen to me, that was never going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first and only time my children have ever seen me touched.
Was it questions after that?
No, they didn't have questions. But I had conversations with them about it.
Okay. Even that you never got to experience.
That I never got.
And I love that. You was like, let's break this generational curse right now.
Yeah. So even the baby, he's 7 now. So he was like 4.
Mm-hmm.
He was like 4, I guess. Even him, like, you know, when people love each other, sometimes things happen and they disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes disagreements turn into physical acts, but it's never okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's never okay for a woman to hit a man, and it's never okay for a man to hit a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just not okay. And so it was important for me to have that talk right away. I didn't let any time go by.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, I don't bring up what happened to me, but I still bring up domestic violence.
Yeah.
Like my son, my 13-year-old, is very attractive, and he's at the age where, you know, you're getting love tests.
Yeah,
in school.
Yeah.
And so a young lady slapped him in class, and I emailed the dean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because vice versa. Yeah. And I think both, like you said, both aspects of it need to be addressed, whether it's the girl hitting the guy hitting the girl. Both is the same.
It's not okay. That's not going to be another generation of physical.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it.
I absolutely. When you told me though, because you know I'm legit in tears, but I was inspired because you were like, enough is enough, and you knew when your time came, I'm out of here. And you're like, you're involved in my kids now? Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that at 8, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we not about to do this with mine.
And when I was in it, I didn't know what my breaking point was going to be until it happened.
And that's what I said. You can say, well, girl, why you didn't leave it?
I used to say, well, when he finally beats me up, that'll be it. I'll be done.
Yeah.
It'll be over.
Or when somebody sees a black eye or a busted lip and yeah.
But thinking about it now, that might not have been it.
So you did eventually, that was the stepping stone of the divorce.
I put him out that day.
Put him out that day.
That night, he snot-nosed, crying. He went and got in the baby's crib. Like, okay, now you're being dramatic. Then he's all with the two boys like, I tried to make it happen. I let you down. Like, if you don't get your...
You like, get out of here. Did he ever say sorry, though?
Never.
Like, did he ever get help? Do we know?
Well, we tried to go to counseling twice. We tried. Like, I told him, like, if we don't go to counseling, it's over.
Oh, God. We can so talk for hours about this.
But we went to my uncle, but my uncle married us, and he's my uncle.
Right.
Dad's brother. Yeah, yeah. I'm not about to tell my dad's brother that I'm cheating.
And that's the thing.
I'm not about to tell my dad's brother that I'm cheating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I'm like, we have to go somebody who doesn't have any relation to us, that's why I'm all about sitting on somebody's couch. Right. Pay that copay. Pay it.
Listen.
It is worth it. Listen. Pay that. Because sometimes the church, and again, I grew up in the church. I'm there. Look, every other Sunday or every Sunday, but sometimes that's just, I need more.
It wasn't
because
enough.
Y'all avoid these things.
I started seeing a therapist 2 weeks after I put him out.
Perfect.
I found a therapist.
Love it. I love it. Because then it was a lot of healing you had to do.
And when I first called her, I said, she asked me what my goals with therapy were. And I said, I want my husband back. Why is that my answer?
Because who wants to say they had a failed marriage? Nobody wants to get divorced,
and then,
you know?
And then after I invited him. She said, invite him to the first session. He wouldn't go.
Mm.
He's like, you'll listen to a complete stranger, but you won't listen to me.
Listen. And on that note, guys. No, Pilar, I thank you so much for your transparency, your story.
Thank you.
She is in a good space, guys.
I am.
She is in a good space. She has a new boo.
I have a new boo.
I love him. They're so great together. So, but I, you know, just, you know, talking with her and just seeing your growth. And again, this situation is not easy because you kind of have to relive it. But I so appreciate you talking about it on my podcast.
Thank you.
Fear doesn't go with my resilience, guys.
No,
this is Crystal Marie. We might have to do a part two because people are probably like, okay, what's going on now? So we might have to do part two, guys. Let me know if you still, if you want her to come back and we'll talk for another hour.
This could be a book.
I keep encouraging her to write one. She needs to, because more people need to hear it. But guys, you know where I'm at. Fear Doesn't Go In My Outfit, the podcast, thecrystalmarie.com. You can listen to there. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Hey, guys. Hey, for all the people that are watching.
Hey.
Hey, say hi to P. And do you have your Fear Doesn't Go In My Outfit merch? Get your t-shirts, get your hoodies, get all of that, guys. TheCrystalMarie.com. And
do you
will
bags? Yeah, I need a,
yes,
like a,
I have
tote
bags.
Bag.
I have totes on there. Oh, I have totes and duffel bags. I have buttons. I have hoodies, shirts, and some new things are coming for the spring, summer. So stay tuned for that. But guys, we have to go. Bye.
Bye.